John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. You got your Sunday school lesson there. You can see today's lesson is on love. So it's a fun lesson for me. It's usually, I feel like the lessons usually I have to teach in Sunday school are either really obscure or really difficult or something that we've heard a thousand times. This one actually was enjoyable for me. So this lesson on love, and unlike David, who had 3 weeks to prepare for it, Pastor called yesterday afternoon and said, "I'm not going to be able to be back. So if you could be ready for Sunday school, I'll try to get you a lesson." And so I did not quite have the 2 weeks of preparation. So that being said, this might be a shorter lesson. But to temper that, I also haven't preached in prison and I haven't spoken in school for the last 3 months. So I've got 3 months of built up. So it's kind of tempered. It's going both ways here. So before we get started, let's pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for the day you've given to us. I pray, Father, that you bless today's lesson. I pray, Father, that you be with our pastor today. I pray that you be with his family. I pray, Father, that you give them safety and home to get back here. I pray, Father, that you be with those that couldn't be here today. I pray, Father, that you'd help them, heal them. I pray, Father, that you'd be with them. And be with our service. So please, Lord, give me something from you. I pray, Father, that you bless. And I pray for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. The word love, it's kind of come to mean different things to us today. I deal a lot with teenagers, most of you're all's teenagers. And so a lot of them are in love, and they bounce in and out of love quite frequently. I mean, they've got their summertime girlfriend, their school time girlfriend, their, oh, it's my first year of college girlfriend. This idea of love is off. And I think some of that is due to maybe, our media portrayals of love. You know, everybody watches a Disney movie and the prince always finds a princess and they always go off happily ever after. Those of us that are a little bit older and kind of see that it doesn't exactly work like that. But, you know, it's in the young people's mind. That's what they think. So when they think love, that's what they're thinking. That's what they think love is all about. But really, that's not what love is. In fact, in the Bible, there are several words that are translated into love or that mean love. The pastor oftentimes will talk about agape love. That's that unconditional love that God has toward us. In 1 Corinthians 13, oftentimes we hear it at weddings, you know, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself and does not lift up. That word charity there is the agape. It's that one-way love. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's that one-way love. God loves us regardless of our response back to him. He's going to love us anyway. That's that agape love. But that's not the only love that's mentioned. So we have agape love. And then Pastor oftentimes also talks about that phileo love. That's the friendship love. The I love somebody that has helped me or somebody that I respect. I show in kind that respect toward them. So if someone respects me, I respect them back. If someone loves me, I love them back. If someone's kind to me, I'm kind back to them. And that's how friendships are built. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, right? So that's kind of that two-way love, that exchange of love, that phileo love. But that's not the only kinds of love. There's also a different kind of love. It's called philousia. Philousia love is that self-love. That's me loves me. I love me. In fact, in the Bible, it kind of just assumes that we're going to love ourselves. The Bible says when we understand the golden rule, love as you love yourself. Like how I love myself. A husband's told to love his wife as his own body. It's just assumed we're going to love ourselves. It's that love, that care I take of me. You know, I make sure when I'm hungry, I eat. I make sure when I'm sleepy, I sleep. I make sure when I want something, I get it because I take care of me. And that's that kind of love. Then we get into the ones that teenagers really think of love, and that's that eros or that romantic love, the wedding love, a lot of it is fabricated in our minds, but it's that eros love, that chasing after somebody who's going to care about me and I care about them in a romantic way. Then we get into the philia love, which is an affectionate love. This is where I show affection towards someone else. This philios or this philia love, where I'm going to show affection. And then we get into the pragma love. Pragma love is pragmatic. We use that term pragmatic. It just makes sense. And there's sometimes some people, it just makes sense to love them, you know, to care about somebody, your boss at work. Sometimes it just makes sense to worry or to care about them because if something happens to them, in turn, something might happen to you. If they get fired, there's a chance you might get fired. So pragmatically, not because I really care about this individual, But it just makes sense for me to care about this person because that helps me. That's that next type of love. There is the storge love, which is a parent's love toward a child. It's a little bit different. That parent's love toward a child, when the Bible says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." That word pleased or well pleased, that's that storge. I'm proud of my child. I love what my child's doing, or I'm interested in what's going on in their life. It's that next level of love. And then the final level of love here we have is mania. Now, we use that word mania, we understand, we think crazy, but really it just means an irrational attraction or an irrational affection toward anything. So you might say, well, that person has shopping mania. What we're saying is, that person has an irrational love for shopping. You know, like, oh no, football mania's come into town. Well, what's football mania? That person has an irrational attraction, or it doesn't even make sense how much they care about that. The Chiefs went to the Super Bowl this last year, and there were a lot of people that became Chiefs fans in, you know, January. And because, hey, the Chiefs are there, and we're here, and so it was almost a pragmatic, you know, it's pragmatic. I like this team because it's where I'm from, but it also kind of blends into a mania, you know, guys that go out and get football quarterbacks tattooed on their back because, hey, he's our quarterback until somebody offers to pay him some more money, and then he's going to leave, and you're stuck with your back looking like this guy for the rest of your life. That doesn't make sense, right? That's a mania. Sometimes we look at those things like, okay, that really doesn't work out. Really, today we're going to deal with just a few levels of love. We're not going to go through all of these different types of love that are going to show up. But Jesus here in John chapter 15 is going to discuss love, and he's really going to get into love. We'll read just a couple of these verses. Go with me in John 15. Let's jump down to verse number 9. Bible says this, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full," or might be full. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." You see, multiple times in this passage, Jesus talks about love and tells us some love. On the front of your thing, there's a little love test. Just kind of want to walk through this love test with you. Do we show appreciation to God? And sometimes our love for God kind of falls into that pragmatic love. That's why I kind of went through this. Sometimes I love God because of what he does for me or because of what he will do for me. So pragmatically, it just makes sense for me to love God. But the love God word love here in this passage isn't to have pragmatic love toward God. Don't love God because of what he'll do for you or what he's done for you. That's the pragmatic love for God. And it's not even really that phileo love, which is the two-way love. Well, God loves me, so I'm going to love him back. It's not the love we're supposed to have. That's oftentimes where we fall. We fall into these different categories just because of who we are. You know, well, God helped me, so I love him. The problem with that philosophy or with that type of love is when I perceive that God stopped helping me, then I cut my love off, right? So if I've got a friend and he's my friend, but then he does something and I perceive that this person's no longer beneficial to be around me, I cut him off. I don't need that friend anymore. We don't want to have that kind of love toward God. Because in life, sometimes we will reach, you know, we will come to these little moments where we think, you know, what's it worth? Why love God? And if I've got pragmatic love, cut it off. Well, hey, I can make a lot more money if I do this and I don't have to love God. Just cut them off. Like, hey, it makes pragmatic sense for me to, it's the wrong kind of love. Or a phileo love where it's, well, God's done this for me, so I'm gonna love him back. God's done this for me, so I'm gonna love him back. Oh, wait, God let me get cancer? I'm done. I don't love God anymore. I'm done. And that's because we have the wrong kind of love. It's the wrong level of love, the wrong type of love. We're having that phileo love. So do I show affection to God? Do I display godly affection toward others? Again, the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. The second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do I show that affection, godly affection toward others? Do I say, I love you? Do I say, I love you? Growing up, my dad was not a super big I love you, you know, he didn't say it an awful lot. The way my dad says I love you is through action, right? Dad would go and bring us ice cream, say, hey guys, I got ice cream today. And that says I love you. But verbally, he wasn't a big, you know, I love you, you know, no Valentine cards and stuff. That's just not how my dad is. They moved to Colorado, so they live 10 hours away. And once they moved to Colorado, now we talk on the phone quite a bit, and we'll talk on the phone. And I would say almost every time we talk on the phone, it could be just a real quick question, like, hey, Dad, I'm trying to do this, this, and this, and should I use this or this? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, I would use this, or I've had that problem, I would use this on that. All right, anything else? Nope, all right, I love you. I mean, like, every time. It can be a short conversation, a long conversation. He's always saying he loves that. It's come up just in partially because of the distance. You know, it's kind of changed this way. But do we say I love you? Do we say I love you? And again, sometimes that I love you can be a pragmatic I love you. It can also be the wrong form of I love you. Our teenagers jump on this. Like, do I say I love you all the time to certain people? No, wrong kind of I love you. So yeah, do we say it? And not only do we say it verbally, but do we show that we love each other? Is my spirit negative or hateful? And we're going to get into some of these negative spirit things. Some people just have a spirit about them where it's like, I don't think they love anything. I'm like, no. Like, not at all. It's like, hey, I'm going to go get a donut. Yeah, donuts are bad for you. All right, well, I'm going to have a coffee. Coffee will kill you. Okay, well, I'm going to go outside. Watch out for the sun. Well, it's cloudy. Well, of course, it's going to rain. I mean, like, no matter what you say, they're not having it. Like, do they love anything at all? Like, well, is there anyone that I do not love? Is there anybody that comes to your mind when you think about this? Like, you know what? I just don't love that person. I can't stand that person. Don't have anything to do. Nope. Is there anybody like that comes to your mind? Do I feel God's law toward others? And God's law is, again, love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Do I do that toward others? Do I only love those who love me? Again, we're shifting into that pragmatic and that phileo love. Like, what's in it for me? If I love you, what do I get out of it? If I do this for you, what am I going to get out of it? Am I living a spirit-filled life? Do I tell others of God's love for them? And then we skipped one up there. But do I provoke others to love by my actions? Again, this idea about love. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there are several things about love. If you'll turn, you can turn with me. We're going to look at just a couple of verses in Proverbs. Because before we get into how to love and what we should love, I want to talk about some things we shouldn't love. Because sometimes our love gets all mixed up. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And we're just going to look up just a couple of quick verses here in Proverbs. We are doing this. God's Proverbs to study, so I wanted to kind of go at least and see a couple of verses out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 says this, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Love not sleep. Sometimes we love the wrong thing and love sleep. I don't know about you guys, but for me, these last three months since spring break, so November, or since March, so March, April, May, we're almost in June, so yeah, about 3 months. These last 3 months, I have felt extremely lazy. It's like, boy, it's not just because I'm not doing as much. It's just there's nothing that can be done. I mean, good night. Home Depot's closing at like 6 o'clock. So if you're trying to get work done, like, oh, well, the stores are closed. I guess I'll have to wait till tomorrow. Like, you can't do it anyway. And I find myself sometimes getting into this idea of earlier and earlier. Like, I used to go to bed pretty late, and I'm going to bed earlier and earlier, and I'm waking up later and later. So it's like, you know, this sleep thing. Because, like, during school, we have to get up. You know, we have to be here at 8 o'clock, and you've got to be ready for the day, so you're getting up really early so that you're ready for the day. Now it's like, I don't have anything to do. I've got some grading to do. Well, it's going to take about an hour. I guess I can get up at 11:30 and, you know, get that banged out before lunch and call it good. It's like, day done, check. Like, there's just nothing to do. And, you know, and of an evening, it's like, all right, well, there's nowhere to go. There's, like, all the restaurants were closed. There was nowhere to go. So it's like, all right, well, may as well just go to bed. Like, well, there's nothing else to do. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Now, had it not been, like, the situation that we were in and had, you know, different things not been going on, that kind of lifestyle definitely would have led to poverty. You know, it's like, wow, I see how, like, I felt like I was a retired guy. I mean, I really did. I felt like, this is, I'm kind of looking forward to this someday. This isn't too bad, you know. Get a hammock, get some books. Of course, the library was closed, so you couldn't really read too much. But just, you know, I could enjoy this. But love not sleep, lest I come to poverty. And sometimes we have this idea of sleeping, this idea of rest. We put ourselves, you know, we're pushing toward rest. The next one is Proverbs chapter 21, just one page over there. Proverbs 21:17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. This idea of pleasures, I don't know if you've all experienced this, but we'll go on vacation, and we enjoy going down toward Branson. So we'll go down to Branson, and on vacation, I can spend as much in one day on vacation as I will spend, you know, that's like, you know, 2 weeks worth of regular living. I drop that in a day on vacation. It's like, oh, why not? Like, oh, let's go eat here. Oh, you know, this much, who cares? Let's stay there. This much money, who cares? And on these ideas, you know, the Bible says that the want of a traveling man, sometimes this idea of pleasure, it can really, you know, hit you in the pocketbook. And that's what Solomon's saying here. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. And sometimes if we put all of our desire is in the pleasures, the things I want to do, the things I want to enjoy. I enjoy sports, but, you know, putting all of my money into sports or putting all of my time into sports, putting all my affection into sports, that's not healthy. There's some people that, you know, they love video gaming and they put, I'm shocked that they said that the video game industry makes more money than movies, TV shows, and all print media combined. So you combine all that. And then you got the video game industry, and it was like over $20 billion a year, something crazy. Video game industry is bringing in like $20 billion a year, but it's people going out and spending, you know, $60 on a video game with in-game purchases, and you buy those extra things, and you've got the consoles, and you've got this, and the newest, and the best, and the fastest, and we throw money at that because it's pleasurable. We enjoy it. But that's a wrong placed affection, right? So we understand this. The next one goes back to the first chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 21 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge?" Now that verse doesn't say what's going to happen to that person. Later on, it says that destruction's going to come like a whirlwind. It says that desolation's going to come. Distress is going to come. Anguish is going to come. Fear is going to come. This idea of simplicity, we often say, you know, what I don't know can't hurt me. Sometimes what you don't know can hurt you. And that's the idea of simplicity, is not wanting to know. Like, I just don't want to know. I talked to my mother the other day, and she said that one of the kids heard dripping in one of their closets. And they heard the dripping, and they didn't want to open the closet because they didn't want to know what was going on. So this dripping was going on, and their hot water tank was leaking. And so it was leaking, and it was leaking upstairs, and it was dripping down through the downstairs closet. It was dripping, dripping, dripping. And it had been dripping for like a week. And my college-age brother, who's home from college, didn't want to look in the closet because he didn't want to find the problem. Because he knew if he found the problem, he'd probably end up having to work on it. And they said, yeah, the dripping was pretty bad. And he went in there, and like over a week of dripping, like the drywall was all soggy and the carpet was all bad. And everything in there was all soaked, and they were having to throw stuff out. And my mother wasn't very happy with my little brother and with ones that heard the dripping sound or heard the water running back in the back, and said, you know what? Sometimes it's better just to find out what's going on. You know, sometimes we want to open that door. Sometimes it's better to know than just to stay simple. Last thing here is strife. He that loveth transgression loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gaze exalteth destruction. That's from Proverbs 17, verse 19. Proverbs 17, 19. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. It shocks me how much we enjoy watching strife. You know, being stuck at home and all this stuff. There's been different times. In one of the days we were kind of flipping through channels, and there are all these talk shows. And usually I'm working. Usually I'm at school or I'm busy, so I don't have time to sit home in the middle of the afternoon and flip through channels. And they've got all these talk shows and all these shows. It's all this stuff about strife. Like, this guy did this or this girl did this. And these two used to be friends and now they're not. And this is why. And we, as Americans, obviously view this because they're still putting those on. They've got the funding from the advertisers because so many millions of Americans watch these shows where people are, it's all strife. It's all fighting. And like, oh man, it's like going to a hockey game. Brother Cornwell, we go to, he likes hockey. I like hockey, but the thing I like about hockey isn't, you know, hitting the puck on the ice. That's okay. But when they fight, that's where it gets good. You know, hey, it's that strife. Let's, come on, throw down. Come on, let's see, there's some fighting here. And it's all about the strife. You know, we love strife. And if we're not careful, it's misplaced affection. Misplaced affection. In fact, let's look at this and then we'll get really into the heart of the lesson. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy 3, this is where Paul goes through, in the last days, perilous times shall come. So we're talking about the last days. I want to look at those things that he says are going to come in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Men shall be, notice, lovers of their own selves. So again, he's going to look at this. In the last days, our problems are going to be misplaced love. Lovers of their own selves. Look at the next thing. Covetous. That's loving money. Boasters. Proud. Both those deal with me loving me too much. And that's why I'm proud and that's why I'm boastful. Blasphemers. Not loving God like I should. Disobedient to parents. Again, unthankful and unholy. Misplaced love. I love me, so I'm not thankful. I deserve what you gave me. Or disobedient to parents. I don't love my parents like I should. So disobedient to parents. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Again, traitors. Why do I treat? Because of misplaced love. Heady. That word heady is they make rash decisions. High-minded. Again, another form of love, another form of pride. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And if you go through those earmarks of the last day, most of these deal with misplaced affection, misplaced love. I love me more than I should. I love pleasure more than I should. I love money more than I should. I think I'm all that and nobody else is anything at all. That's what he's talking about here. He says, hey, in the last days, and that's where we are now. We're in last days. We know that love is going to be a problem. Our misplaced love, our misplaced affection, the things that we enjoy, the things that I go after, they're the wrong things to go after. So all that we're going to boil down to, go back with me to John chapter number 15. So that's what we shouldn't love. So let's look at what Jesus told us we should love, or how Jesus told us we should love. Back in John 15, we've already read through these verses, so we're just going to walk through them again. But look at verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. First thing that we need to see is the kind of love we should have is the love that God has toward us. This is that agape love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's that agape love. This is God loved you and God loves me unconditionally. And that's the kind of love we should have toward others. Not the what's in it for me, not the pragmatic, well, it just makes sense for me to love that person because of, that's the wrong kind of love we should have. It says, hey, we need to have this agape love. And then look, he says, continue ye in my love. Second thing I see about love is it's supposed to be a continual love. It's supposed to be, we want God to love us all the time. And we expect other people to love us all the time. But we ourselves sometimes don't love others all the time. I want people to love me all the time. But sometimes I don't expect people to. Sometimes I don't love what I expect. I want it, but I don't have that kind of love. So my wife and I were coming up, this is 15, we'll be married 15 years this year. So we're coming up on 15 years. And in 15 years, there have been numerous times where I have said and acted and done things that are not very lovely. A lot of times, most times, let's just be honest. So there are a lot of things, it's just not so lovely. My wife does not like the smell of onions, and she's not really big on peppers. My favorite things to eat are onion rings and onion petals and jalapeno poppers. And I'll eat like onion rings and jalapenos, and I'll eat them up and come in, and she's like, oh, honey, you need to go brush your teeth. I brush my teeth. You need to go do it again. It's like, I can smell the onion. Oh, I smell. That is really strong. I'll be like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's on my hands or something. In fact, last summer, I was pulling out poison ivy with my hands. We didn't know my wife was allergic to poison ivy until I had pulled out poison ivy. And it doesn't affect my hand. Like, I get it on my soft skin, but my hands are. So pulled out all this poison ivy and stuff. And this was last July, right before we headed up to Chicago for the youth conference. I had held her hand, I had touched her shoulder, I had rubbed the back of her neck. And we get up, we're on our way up to Chicago, and she's like, my hand feels funny. I'm like, well, honey, who knows? We got all the teenagers with her, I'm sure you'll be fine. We get up there, and second day in, and if when you're at a youth conference in Chicago, it's pretty busy. And second day in, she's like, something's not right, there's something, it's kind of burning. I feel like I've got a rash on me, what's going on here? And it's like, well, that really looks like poison ivy, but you haven't been around poison ivy. I've been around poison ivy. Oh. So, yeah. In that moment, I was not the most lovable person on the planet. I was pretty low on that list of somebody that she should love or could love. Like, well, there's a Walgreens around the corner. Let's go get some Ivarest. And once it breaks out, I mean, it's going to hurt for a while. And it's very uncomfortable when you're not at your house and you're not in your place and you're sleeping on, you know, the floor and you're, you know, covered in poison ivy and it's sticky and warm and no AC. It's just a bad situation to be in, having poison ivy that you didn't, you know, like, she didn't even touch the stuff. Like, I wasn't very lovely then. that put me kind of down on the list of love. You know, we expect people to have agape love. Honey, I'm your husband. You have to love me. It's just how it is. But pragmatically, nope. You know, two-way phileoli, no, not very lovely there. No, I'm glad in that instance she had some agape love for me. She loved me anyway, or at least I hope she did. Love, we're supposed to love all the time, love continually. Love in the good times and in the bad times. They say that, one out of every two, and I think that statistic's a little bit skewed, one out of two marriages end in divorce. I think it's skewed a little bit in our day and age because just a lot of people aren't getting married. They're just living together for a couple of years and they break up. So I take that statistic with a grain of salt, but one out of every two, you know why? It's because love, we're not living consistently. And maybe the initial love that we got together with was a pragmatic love, or maybe it was a eros, a romantic love, versus a phileo or a agape love. But we're supposed to love all the time. Not only that, look at verse number 10 here. It says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And later on he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. We're going to want to do what pleases him. Love should cause us to want to do what pleases God. And it's the same way with our relationships with others. If I love, in my situation, Pastor Hanks is my boss. And so if I love Pastor Hanks, whether it's the pragmatic love, because he's the one that signs the check that, you know, puts food in my mouth, or if it's more the phileo love, we love him because of what he's done for us, or if it's more the agape love, you know, the unconditional love, regardless of where that love level is at, if I want to please him, I'm going to do what he wants. I'm going to do what he desires. I'm going to, you know, do what he asks. Friday, Pastor called, and of course, if we've had all this rain, he called and said, listen, Brother Mize isn't there, and I'm sure the grass is getting pretty high there around the church. I was telling Brother Bond, it's been a year and a half since I've had to mow. I didn't mow at all last season. And the season before, I maybe mowed once. Now, 10 years ago, I mowed everything every week. You know, it's like spent my life on a lawnmower. You know, the whole summer, just mowing, 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 mowing. But Brother Mize has taken over, and several other guys come out, and they help out, so I haven't had to mow. But Friday, it was kind of a nice day. I thought, you know what, I'll do this. And I've forgotten how much work it is just to sit on it. You know, you're just sitting on a mower, but that's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of mowing and string trimming and everything. I was like, oh, boy, it took a long time. Not necessarily something I would have wanted to have done, but keep my commandments. And there's sometimes some things that God commands us to do. We say, it's not really the thing I would want to do, but keep his commandments. Next type of love here, we just two more things here. Love is commanded. Jesus didn't say, if you feel like it, love. He said, love one another. He didn't say, well, if you get around to it, you should love God. No, he said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't optional. This is a command. You will do this. You should do this. Love's commanded. When it comes to God's commandments, this command to love, if we get the command to love down, and Jesus understood, and that's why we have it, if you get the command to love down, the other things all fall into place. Right? If I get the commandment to love down, if I could just love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, if I love my neighbor as myself, and if I could get my self-love down enough, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, if I could get those things just lined up, everything else falls into place. Everything else falls into place. It takes away the strife. It takes away, it makes me happy. In fact, it talks about how joy comes. If we get love right, it makes me joyful. Everything else falls into place. If I could just get those things right. Oftentimes the reason my wife and I have arguments or get into disagreements is because of a misplaced love. Either I loved me too much. I didn't love her enough. I didn't love her enough to tell her whatever was going on. I loved me too much and decided that I was going to, you know, go and buy something without saying something to her and, you know, show up with, you know, a major purchase. And well, it's just misplaced love. And if we get those loves right, those problems go away. And then, hey, you know, happy wife, happy life, right? you get everything lined up. It does that love comes, but that's if we keep that commandment, Last thing here is the greatest display of love. Jesus said this, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Obviously, we understand that prophetically, Jesus was speaking there because he was going to die on the cross and lay down his life for us, his friends. But for us today, that's how we display our love. The greatest display of love we can have for others is when I lay down my life. And not necessarily, like, we take that, like, to the extreme, die for your friends. But I don't just have to die to my friends physically. If I just die to self for my friends, that's the greatest display of love. Again, my wife's not a huge onion-smelling person, so I've gotten to where I don't eat that many onions. I really just have kind of cut back on onions. Hold the onions on almost everything. It's almost a reflex now. I'll take this, this, and this. Hold the onions. It's a reflex response. Not because I don't like onions. I love onions. But she doesn't like onions. And so I will die to self. I will say no to me because I want to be acceptable or pleasing to her. And that's what we should do for God. There's some things that, you know, hey, I want to do this, but I'm not going to do this because I want to please him. So I'm going to die to self so I can please him. Paul said, I die daily. And that's because of love. It's because of love. I love God so much that the things that I would love to do for me, I'm not going to do some of those things. So there's some things that I would love to do, but I'm not going to do those things because I know they're wrong. So I'm going to love God more. I'm going to die to self. And the same thing's true with friendships, with relationships. If I just die to self, all those things all fall into place. Makes life easier. So love, not something I'm the greatest example of. Loving like we should. But Jesus was. And he gives us his word here. He tells us how we should love. So let's love like we should.